Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Staycations, visiting local sites, Pulau Ubin, wherever you're going around Singapore, wild Singapore, of course, we always encourage everyone to get out and get the fresh air and get to nature. But we need to be more mindful of those four-legged and two-legged friends that we, in some case, no-legged friends that we share Singapore with. Joining us today to talk about this, Sabrina Jabbar, the assistant primate researcher of the Raffles Banded Langur Working Group, and Kalai Vanen Balakrishnan, the Acres Deputy Chief Executive. Good morning and welcome to you both. Great to have you on Money FM.
Good morning, Glenn, Neil.
Good morning, guys. Maybe you can kick things off, by telling us about some of the incidents that have happened in the last week or so, just to put it into context for our listeners and viewers.
I guess I'll start off with the snake. I think the python, it was actually at East Coast Park, I think.
Yes.
Pythons, they get sighted every day. Recently, it's been raining a lot. A lot of them will be coming from the drains out because the drains get flooded. But yes, public should never handle them by themselves. You know, it can lead to themselves getting injured and also the snake getting injured as well.
Yeah, the snake was doing nothing. It was just kind of in its little hole, peeking its head out. And my understanding is from watching the video, then these guys came up and pulled it out of the hole, a reticulated python, and then, of course, you know, dragged it around and, you know, did all kinds of things they shouldn't do. How often are we seeing these incidents happen where, frankly, an animal is not doing anything aggressive or anything at all, and somebody just takes it upon themselves? Kalai, what do we see there?
I think what I see very often is that people often mistake an animal for being defensive as an attacking animal. So very often in wild animals, they are put in a corner, they are startled, and they become defensive, whether it's wild boars, macaques, or other wild animals. And when they get defensive, I think that's when the community or people in general, they don't know what to do, and they perceive it as an attack. But all the animal is doing is just defending itself.
Now, Sabrina, you are an assistant primate researcher at the wonderful Raffles Banded Langur Working Group. I know those guys very, very well. Dr. Andy Ung is a regular guest on our show.
Yes.
More importantly for me, you're also a monkey guard trainer, which is a wonderful role that you guys perform around Singapore, which makes you perfectly qualified to talk about two key incidents in the last couple of weeks. There was the first wild boar attack, and I'm using that word in inverted commas. I don't actually agree with the word attack, but
say incident.
Incident where a woman was injured, where she was warming up, I believe, doing some exercises. And the second one that we've all seen, it has gone viral, the woman on the bicycle at the entrance to Chek Jawa on Pulau Ubin, where everybody knows that area, that's a popular area for wild boars. As a monkey guards trainer in those situations, firstly, what were your thoughts? And secondly, what should people do in those situations?
Well, I think like whether it's for macaques or wild boars, they're all wild animals. The first option is always never take things in your own hands. And before you even react, you need to look around you. Are you holding on to any food, anything that is actually attracting the animals to approach you, right? These are one things. And a lot of times how the animals react is in line with how we react. If we panic, the animal can sense it. And when you say the word aggression, I think that's a word that's commonly used everywhere, right? Whether a monkey is baring its teeth at you or wild boar perceived to be charging at someone, people will go into a state of panic and then they feel like the animal is attacking. But actually, that's just an animal's way of being in self-defense because they cannot speak, right? So, I mean, in all these incidences that we've been hearing and seeing, essentially, people should just keep a safe distance. We always advise 2 to 3 meter distance, but if that is still too close, then back away. Don't take matters in your own hands because a lot of times it will escalate the situation. And especially in these days where everyone can just take a video and upload it on social media, these things can go viral. And if it's not being addressed properly, people get the wrong impression. And like now, everyone's freaking out if they see a wild boar just walking in the park or a monkey on a tree just doing what they usually do. Yeah.
Well, this follows up nicely with the next point for both of you, maybe Kalai first. Are you seeing anecdotally, unless you have hard evidence, I'm not sure, but are you seeing anecdotally an increase in encounters, human and wildlife encounters, because there's no doubt we have 5.5 million people itching to travel who cannot go anywhere outside of Singapore. So we know that, I've spoken to the guys at NParks, we know that Sungai Buloh visitorship figures are through the roof, which is fantastic. You know, more people are experiencing wildlife and our flora and fauna, Pulau Ubin the same, our parks and gardens of Singapore also the same. So are you seeing, Kala, an increase in phone calls, encounters, incidents, that sort of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even for ACRES hotline, this year, we are expecting a total of about 15,000 calls by the end of the year. Wow. For animals needing rescue and conflict issues. But this is happening for a few reasons. One is definitely more people are going out into nature areas, especially during this COVID time. More and more people are used to social media, so they share things. Things go viral more quickly, and it may look like there are more animals. And also a lot more development happening. So there is no scientific study done, as far as I know, to show that there's an overpopulation of macaques or wild pigs. But what we know is land is being developed. So these animals are getting more visible. And of course, there's a lot of feeding as well.
Speaking with Kalai Vanan Balakrishnan and Sabrina Jabbar, Assistant Primate Researcher for Raffles Banded Langur Working Group. If I can just move on just slightly, we see this interaction between humans and animals all the time. On East Coast Park, I see it happening with the otters on a regular basis, the otters in Marina Bay. People go right up to them to take selfies and to, you know, really get into their space. And I'm just amazed that, quite frankly, we don't have more incidents. Or if you go up to Dairy Farm, for example, for a hike, you know, the monkeys are out there. Whenever you stop, they come, they're begging for food, or Bukatima, you know, all these different places. The animals are all around us all the time. So, Sabrina, since you are working with monkey guards, you know, as we're out there, how do we not freak out about something that's unfamiliar to us, like a boar or a monkey or any kind of animal, when it comes, when we are in its vicinity? How should we respond to them?
I think first and foremost, before you even want to visit parks, you need to understand and acknowledge that you will encounter wild animals. Get yourself educated in the key things that you need to do, what you should bring, what you should not bring. So actually, it starts right from the start, not when you already enter the reserve. For starters, like if you are intending to carry like food or drinks with you, don't carry plastic bags. I mean, we all know how the wild boars and macaques have associated the sound, the colors of our plastic bags.
So how should we carry food? What's the safe way to carry food?
So best is just put it in a cotton bag or a haversack. Just keep it in your bag. Don't let it dangle. And you know, like I always believe, like even when you're carrying your backpack, they have side pockets, right? Don't let anything be seen there, because these animals are very visual, especially the macaques. And even though it might be your first time to reserve, these macaques, they see, they learn. So many people visit the parks every day. So it's an associative behavior.
Yes.
That's one thing. And if you feel like a macaque is trying to approach you because maybe because you're holding something that is very attractive, all you gotta do is like carry your things close to your chest. Because when you think about it, when you're standing up, you are taller and bigger than the macaque. So when you put it right up onto your chest or above your head, you are making it tougher for the macaque to climb all over you, and it is not worth it. As much as we are afraid of them, they are actually afraid of us. There's a lot of risk for them to take if they just want to grab that food.
Yeah, you make a great point there, Sabrina, about associative behavior. That was the most depressing aspect of the Pulau Ubin video that went viral for me, was the associative behavior, i.e. the boar instinctively knew there was food in the basket. He can't read a label, he can't read Pringles or whatever the food said, I don't know. But he knew from previous experiences that people are bringing food out into the open, out into those bicycle baskets. And so it was easy pickings for the boar. Which brings me to the next point, Kalai, which is there's been a survey being done currently in Pasir Ris. There, it is, to say it has triggered mixed views and it's polarizing would be a bit of an understatement. The gist of the survey is, should the wildlife around Paso Reyes, because there's mangrove in Paso Reyes, as we know, and there's swamp there. And so it's a great ecosystem in Paso Reyes, but it's also beside a very large housing estate. So the survey is, should the wild animals of Paso Reyes remain or should they go? That statement alone got some very angry emails with people asking, well, go where? They live there. Where else do they go? So what are your views, Kalai, on that particular survey? And is it the right way to go?
I think, first of all, it's great that the town council they've reached out to the residents to seek their opinion. But I don't think when it comes to these matters, it should be left to just public's opinion whether the animals should be there or not be there. They have been there for a long time. There's a lot of development happening in the area. So it was a bit disappointing to see that survey. What many of us at Acres and in the nature scene felt is that if there was any survey done, the survey should be addressing on what the community should do when they sight more animals. You know, it should focus more on education so that the members of public there, the residents there, do they know actually what wildlife are there and why are the wild pigs there? If the area where the poor lady got knocked down as well, I mean, there's a lot of feeding happening there. So people need to be aware of all these issues so they understand why these things happen, so that not everybody can address the issues better. End of the day, if anything, the survey should be designed in a way that it can address these issues. And if it works, you know, Paso Reyes will be like a role model for all the other towns. I think that should be the way to go, actually.
Sabrina, one of the tips that I've always heard is, especially when it comes to the monkeys, macaques, is to carry a toy rubber snake with you and to have that nearby, because monkeys don't like snakes and they stay away instinctively if they see a snake. Is that true? And is that a good hack for people that might be scared of the monkeys coming at them to have one of these kind of rubber snakes with them?
That's a very good question. Even for monkey guards, when we did the pilot program in Bukit Timah, we've actually used that as one of the ways to deter the monkeys. But, you know, monkeys, they're very smart. After a while, they realize that it's not a real snake. Won't cause them harm. They're just going to flick it away. And I've had a comical incident where the macaque actually beat off the head of the rubber snake. But my point is, I've seen how there are residents who place the rubber snake on top of their bin. However, their bin is not well kept. So that defeats the purpose of putting a deterrent, but you're not actively doing your part. It has to be a balance. Yeah. But I'm not saying that it won't work. It does work to a certain extent.
Are there other hacks like that that people can use? Aside from keeping food out of sight, we know that, keeping it in a backpack, a rucksack. Are there other hacks that people can use to fend off or to deter some of these wild animals, whether it's a macaque or whether it's a boar or anything else?
If let's say you were to have an umbrella with you and you're walking past and you see a wild boar or macaque in front, you can use it to deter, but you can't use it in a way that you are taunting the animal.
Right.
It's like as if you're trying to cane a kid, because that's going to aggravate the situation. You're essentially inviting them to a fight. Just think of how humans will behave, right? But you can use the stick or an umbrella by tapping it on the ground at a safe distance. Mm-hmm. It means that you're sending them out that message that, look, I'm here, I'm about to pass through. And then that's where you can gauge whether it's safe enough to pass them or not. Or if there's a metal railing nearby, you can just tap on it. It's basically just to, like, send that message to them to communicate.
And Kalai, briefly to follow up on that, similar advice for snakes. I have myself have seen various cobras and pythons, and I just generally take a few slow steps backwards and away, and then go back and change my underwear. So that's generally what I do. But what are the tips we are going to see more encounters of reptiles during the holidays? What would be some good tips for the public?
I think for reptiles, you know, they have such a bad reputation just purely because of how they are portrayed in films and all that. But in actual fact, you know, they are just like other animals. They're very scared of us. And generally, they will move away once they sense us coming. So if you see a snake, I mean, just move the other way, go around it, just avoid it. A lot of people feel that, oh, this animal is dangerous. I need to do something to stop it from being dangerous. But then you're putting yourself even closer to the animal. So just move away. Take a photo if you can. Call us at our hotline so that we can identify and we can see what we can do.
Wonderful. We've got a lot of comments coming in. I'll try to highlight a couple from our readers and listeners and viewers. Anbarasi Bhupal, if there is no proven overpopulation of wildlife, what happens when wildlife, such as wild boars and macaques, get removed because of such public pressure? This is the key question for me, guys. Mm. Maybe you might, both might have a comment on that. Sabrina first. Can we relocate animals? Is it a practical, feasible, ecological thing that we can do? Can animals be relocated? Is it as simple as that, Sabrina?
I think that when you come to wildlife management, that is an option that will always be there, but it should not be the first option. It should be at the very, very last option until all efforts have been exhausted. And when you talk about relocation, if you're talking about social animals, like for example macaques, right? If you were just to remove an individual whom you deem is a problem animal in that area, you just relocate it and put it elsewhere, you're just creating a power vacuum. There's an empty space. There will always be an animal that will fill up that space. Mm. So even if you remove 5 monkeys, yeah, 2-3 months, you won't, not going to have any problems. But the whole cycle will start again. And I think the important thing is, what is the message that you're sending to the public?
Yes.
That is a very simple approach, right? Or then they'll feel like, oh, like the other time, this area, they managed to relocate these monkeys. The next time this problem is, okay, we're just going to use that method. That's not going to work, because we are trying to make people understand how to live harmoniously with this animal. So I think that should be the last resort. It should not be a knee-jerk reaction or anything like that. Yeah.
Mm. So if I can just quickly recap, don't carry food in those plastic bags. Put it into a proper backpack or some closed bag. If you have an umbrella, maybe tap it on the ground. Don't use it in a menacing manner if there is an animal nearby. Perhaps try the rubber snake method. And then if it all else fails and you can't walk away and change your knickers, as Neil does, then perhaps call Acres. And if they want to call Acres, Kalai, what's the number that they would call?
You can call our 24-hour hotline at 9783-7782. And if I can just add, the public shouldn't be bringing rubber snakes into the nature reserves now because of macaques.
Fair enough.
Because we do get calls for snakes that turn out to be rubber snakes also.
Yes. Fair enough. Okay, leave the rubber snakes at home. Just give these animals a wide berth. Sabrina Jabbar go ahead. I'll give you the last word. Sure.
Yeah, I just want to add that now that a lot of people are visiting our green spaces, it's also important that everyone do their part to dispose their trash properly. Because when you talk about feeding, there is direct and indirect feeding. So even though you're not feeding the animals by not disposing your trash properly, that is actually indirect feeding. So yes, please, as much as you want to enjoy the parks and the reserve, like, it is not like our job or NParks' job, anyone's job to keep the park clean. It's everyone's job. And that actually helps to at least minimize any negative interaction between people and the wild animals.
Great advice. Either bin your trash properly, or better yet, take it out with you. Pack in, pack out, as we used to say. All right, Sabrina Jabbar and Kalai Vanan Balakrishnan, thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you
so much for having us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.